Firstly, I would like to really thank the organizers for inviting me. I think it's really needed and interesting, this perspective for us film archives. But we also become more and more like museums because our holdings are becoming more and more unique due to obsolescence, which we observe in a film-based material. And we really can learn a lot from each other. I would like to talk about not only how we collect movies, but how we are registering all those processes which are right now happening in the film archives when we are in a kind of hybrid era, when we still have those fantastic analog holdings, but everything is about digitization, and all legal deposit which we are collecting right now is digital. So what we can learn from museums in film archives? Firstly, over the course of two centuries, modern museums have perfected their way and methods of collecting artworks made in so-called traditional materials. They also develop ways of acquisition and collecting documentation of describing the condition, the artwork, like their changes made in the original object, as well as conservation and restoration treatment. So those treatments should be also registered in case of time-based media, film and video. Such objects are coming into the museum with documentation showing previous owners and what happened to them in between production and their arriving at the museum. And if missing, this information is sought, and if needed, it's added to the record of the museum. Also, film archives learned to deal with acquiring these materials. We did not have 2 centuries to learn that, but we have at least 1 century how to acquire film-based analog film. But this is how those works are arriving to the archive today. So they are coming on the hard disks, on LTO tapes, even via FTP protocols. So as you can imagine, there is no information attached to these carriers. And what it was established standard in the field of traditional object restoration and acquisition is now really a difficult duty to fulfill with this new media. So I would like to talk a little bit about how we may register these acquisition processes, digitization processes, and really learn for future generation of archivists what happened between loaning film elements and receiving the digital files, as well as what happened to the particular media before it was acquired to the institution. Methods of conservation and restoration of new media undertaken independently from the physical artwork are often so experimental that it can be seen as a free-flowing activity between some ambitious curator or conservator and an artist. And that's why we need to really document those intention and strategies taken, because sometimes there is no other way than reinstall the object or mimic it in a new technology or reformat this object. So, especially in the case of obsolete media art, they undergo many reformatting processes before and after they appear in the collection. So, I would like to focus how we can make some kind of documentation track of these digital actions and how we can describe this transformation which conservator together with curator make, how we can formulate this precise documentation, and how we can communicate the decisions made regards to this video arts, video restoration, or more simple film-based art, but today in an obsolete format. So what we are seeing here is an installation of Zuzanna Janin in four different forms in different museums. Those exhibitions were reinstalled together with the artists, but last year we undertook a very detailed questionnaire with the artists, and now the curator who acquired this, this object to the museum, Museum of Warsaw Museum, can reinstall it even without the artists, because all the instructions are given by Zuzanna Janin in kind of structured way. But the question is how we can collect this very complex information. And there was a little bit of talking already about collection management system. There are various products. So, of course, if they are smartly developed, a collection manager interface may represent actually this media artwork life cycle and can provide this kind of structured way to contextualize descriptions and allow one to establish this different criteria than in the traditional objects for cataloging, managing especially the multiple versions which you produce during the managing this audiovisual object. They help you to index data. What is important that this cataloging management system must be able to collect all those individual characteristics of the object. And sometimes it's within the traditional classification, which is often needed in case of new media art, because the genre are also involving the amount of genre is constantly evolving as well as their definition. So your tools would be better, it would be flexible enough to let you do that. And over five last years, aside from my occupation of Filmoteka Narodowa, today FINA, because we merged with Audiovisual Institute, I also worked as a consultant for the new media collection for museums. When I was trying to advise my colleagues from the museum world, I always try to introduce them to the media tools and to the metadata standards, which are already well defined in the film archive world. So, but the truth is that some years ago, in both this institution, the absence of proper tool for documentation and describing this very complex nature of the time-based media art make us create adequate software which would allow us to describe complex time-based media objects. Currently available collection manager software often promise to be able to really document all the characteristics of the object and within the traditional classification. But we need to really find out if what exactly we can keep in such a repository. If smartly develop a collection manager interface may represent such an artwork life cycle and can provide a way to really describe it in a very detailed way. And we can also ask what are the differences in needs between museums and film archives, but for sure that we both, museums and film archives, have a similar needs to libraries, because a museum records are to constantly change to reflect the new information about distinctive object, while library records are merely static. Moreover, the individual objects in a museum collection were unique and required documentation about their story and meaning. And in my opinion, audiovisual archives lay somehow in between those two characteristics, containing semi-unique objects being the result of machine reproduction, because of course we have many prints of the same audiovisual artwork. But what was once a semi-unique object today become more and more rare holding because the technology is obsolete. So if we have camera negative or actually any preprint elements, we consider it as a very very unique material with very high value, which makes us closer and closer to the museum. So, in a way, we both, museums and film archives, we need catalogs that go beyond the functions of the library catalog to meet the need of specific object characteristic. Technologically, decades already passed since National Film Archive started to acquire many file formats as the result of different production and post-production processes. So our collection is constructed by our own digitization, legal deposit, which in Poland is obligatory, and we are also collecting the result of restoration projects undertaken by copyright owners of the particular film. So since this massive digitization started in 2009, we really needed a tool which would help us to collect all this big data. And we already today were discussing big data, but I would like to underline that in case of movie, when we are scanning it frame by frame, so one movie can be around 8 to 12 terabytes. So if you think about the collection of the National Archive, which is can be 100,000 titles or 200,000 titles, we are immediately talking about scale in petabytes. So as you see in this slide, those demanding coming from digitized or digital collections were very demanding. So my colleague's plan was the digital repository project would be a way to build a system designed specifically for our ever-expanded needs, but what also important to help us cataloging this digital archives, because we can say that we are not acquiring this digitized object, but we are reacquiring them because they are already existing in an analog form. And in case of film preservation, standards do not apply only to digitization, but also to the database architecture and vocabularies. I would like to recommend you two sources coming from the film archiving community. First is European standards. One is those numbers, 15744, and another coming in 2010, 15907. And you can find them all in filmstandards.org webpage. And another source which I really recommend, not only for structuring your database, but also for finding just ready-to-use control vocabularies, is this new, almost fresh FIAF movie image cataloging manual, which was very helpful for us to formulate coherent control vocabularies, because our institution is a result of many mergers made from 80s till now, and we have different traditions on naming things, so it helps us in simplifying many of those elements of our database. And it's also available on the FIAF website, this book, so you can just download it and apply it for free. So in this schema, cinematographic work is abstract entity, so it tells you about who made this movie, what is the title, when it was made. Manifestation is the physical embodiment of the cinematographic work, so we have already original title, length, original duration. And item is exemplar of such a manifestation. So we have this three stages, as you can see, this cinematographic work. Manifestation is not obligatory element, and it's manifestation and item, but all of those details you can find on those websites. So those relations are hierarchically ordered. I'm not sure if you can read anything from this slide, but what I want to underline that it's hierarchically ordered, so the topmost element is this abstract artwork, and then there is a manifestation, which in our case can be analog or digital, and the manifestation have its particular items. And this relation between those elements help us to track all the archival processes which are happening to those movies, especially now when all collection is in a way doubled, because we have analog assets and digital, like we have analog leg and the digital leg. So we are collecting ROSCAN, Archival Swiss Master, VCDM, DCP. So if you are familiar with digital cinema, I'm sure know those abbreviation for those elements. And also it helps us to track the situation when inviting artists for the restoration process will result in making a new version of the movie, because the intervention done today with the digital tools results in something else than the original movie which audience would know from the premiere. So then we are making new versions, digital version of the movie. But what is, I think, unique for my institution is that last year, in the beginning of 2016, we started to really record useful information on conservation, digitization, and restoration of image and sound, and make more coherent workflow view in our databases. So tracking processes of digitization, conservation, and further reformatting of this object, I think it's very essential, especially for future audience and future archivists, which will probably have no access to analog sources due to obsolescence of the technology. And also we need to have in mind the future archivists, which probably will work again on the same movies, and they would like to know what exactly happened during our restoration processes. So what we are collecting from our digitization laboratories, it could be in-house labs or outsourced labs. We are recording information, of course, what was the title of the movie and which frame or which project it was connected to. We are recording information when it happened and which studio made it. We are recording information about particular scanner which scanned this movie. We are recording information about who done it, and because not everything can be squeezed to these boxes and move to the control vocabularies, we are also leaving some space for making comments for key technical people. involved in digitization or restoration. We are, and I think that's really important, we are recording the sources of our digitization. So in case of film archive, there could be different sources. It could be negative if we have it, but it could be interpositive, loop negative, or print. And there is always a reason why we are choosing a particular element to be digitized. And it's really important to notice what was used and what was the source. So those are those green buttons which leads you to the object in database which represents this movie, which creates this kind of mind map and graphic representation of the life cycle of the particular movie. So similarly in case of restoration of the film, if you are familiar with these processes, it could be a very complex project, and we are collecting not only what was possible for it when it was done, but also, and for in this case, we invited for making the job Młodzież Film Labor, so we can see that it's also registered. But they are also registering what was the aim of the project and what was actually the result, because it's not always that your project will meet the initial goals, but it's needed to register it all. We are recording particular each treatment we are applying to the movie. So if you are familiar with restoration of the movie, you probably know that we can stabilize the movie, we can clean it, we can stop some aging processes in this digital representation of the image. We also mentioned the reference materials which were used during the restoration, like answer prints or prints which were shown on a premiere, just to be sure what was the artist's intention on the time of the premiere. So I believe that connecting information from various sources aim to build a clearer image what our goals were for the restoration of these movies, but you could imagine such a way of recording information actually in also many other archival processes. And similarly, in museums, this kind of documenting processes of towards the audiovisual objects could be documented. In case of video art collection or film art collection, I believe also the process of acquisition is really important, and all the steps we need to take before we really take something from artists, and it usually must be a collaborative process. Yes, I got it. So, just to summarize, tracking the processes of digitization and further reformatting of media into various digital manifestation will also be crucial in case of audiovisual objects in both museum and in case of film archives. Just to be clear, what exactly we collected, if the artist perhaps a better copy, better source, better generation, then we need to learn about it from him or her when acquiring the object. So these processes of acquisition, we should avoid this kind of fast making decision and taking whatever media are proposed and change it more to some kind of conversation with the artist or producer. And I would like to also underline that what we were doing in FINA to extend our database to be able to collect information about those workflows and new archival processes was collaborative team between many departments of conservation, cataloging, and repository departments. I also encourage you to build an interdisciplinary tool. I'm very grateful to my colleague for their hard work on it, and also you today for your kind attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you.